As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Ashley here, letting you know that you can listen to The Twilight Effect ad-free on Amazon Music.
You are listening to The Twilight Effect, an unofficial Twilight podcast.
Okie dokie. All right, welcome back. Everyone, we're in the studio. We're back in our own little fort.
Yes, we sure are.
This is so exciting. It feels so nice to be back.
It does. My son said the cutest thing the other day. He was like, you're going to Ashley's to film today? I said, yeah, we're going to try something new. He's like, oh, so you're not going to film outside today? And I'm like, what?
Because it looks like we're outside.
I thought we were filming outside the whole time.
Aw.
That is adorable.
That's so sweet. I love babies. That means we did a really good job and it looks, yeah. I mean, it does look really good. I feel like I could just walk right into the forest. So
you should try that on film.
Get that on tape. okay. I'm really excited that we're doing these extra episodes. I've been reminiscing about a lot of the guests we've had on and I'm excited about all of our guests, but very excited about the guests that's going to come on because I feel like this goes in line with like, it's a learning episode for me, which with the cast members, it's super fun and we get to reminisce. But like when people like Trisha Wood comes on or Lisa or Greg Meridian, we're getting a perspective, which were the casting directors and the producer, we're getting a perspective that I didn't necessarily know or didn't see and kind of real insight into like every single piece to the puzzle that it takes to make the Twilight you see on screen today. So I'm super excited that our next guest is coming on. I know a lot of you out there are going to be excited too, because we had so many people write in saying that you were very invested in the costume design.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to a very special person today. Wendy Chuck is her name. She did the original costume design for Twilight. So she kind of set in motion, you know, what we look like as characters and our kind of fashion journey, if you will.
Yes. Well, I need to know about the coat.
The pea coat. Yeah.
Love that pea coat. And there's just so many, I mean, there's so many big pieces to it, but like there's some specifics there for sure.
Yeah.
Like Alice and her wardrobe and Rosalie, it's just so good.
It's crazy to think about too, where I'm like, oh yeah, like I know my time working with her and creating, helping kind of like further flesh out this character, but like to have to do it with every single character and make them all fit together and look good together. I'm so curious how, like, is that fun for her? Is that super stressful for her?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of detail.
I mean, I'm so removed from it. The whole thing is just like all news and very interesting. And this, I would say that this is probably one of the more exciting ones for me as well.
Yeah.
But had you, I know that you were, you know, brand new when you started Twilight, but had you heard of her? She's got an insane lineup of things she's worked on prior.
I was so new that like I had no, like this is I think the first like the first time that I worked with a costume designer with like a full character arc in mind. So like no, I definitely had never worked with her before, and I didn't understand the extent of what she did either. It took like me going through the film to have a true appreciation for kind of all of the planning and plotting and detail and strategy that goes into kind of making all of these scenes seamlessly fit together and just look pleasant to the eye.
And it sure did.
Yeah,
and I cannot wait to hear all about it.
I just want to know if blue is her favorite color.
Blue, gray.
These are all colors that I really appreciate.
These are actually my favorite colors. My favorite color is blue, because gray is not really a color, right? And Heather Gray is...
I'm like gray, blue, black, tan, white.
Yeah.
More
like
black.
Heather Gray, there was a joke, like an ongoing joke about my closet. Everything was Heather Gray.
Probably was Heather really Gray, Heather pleasant charcoal. To the eye.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
I've moved on.
But... I just literally had the thought, because my closet is bursting at the seams now because it has... my clothes originally and then clothes for pregnancy. And
now you've been kind enough to share your closet with your husband.
And he, I swear, he has more clothes than I do. So I'm now looking to pare down, and like, those are my colors that I'm just going to go out to like black and white and some gray and blue in there, and then call
I'm over here like
today.
The frickin' rainbow.
You are the rainbow.
I do. I like it.
We would to having to like, in having her Wendy come in and like make us work together would be something else.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. We've done a pretty good job on this show coordinating.
I know, but we don't even coordinate.
Yeah.
We haven't ever really coordinated. Wow, we did pretty good.
Basically. Okay. Anyways. So, Wendy has worked on many, many, many major films and TV shows. Ones that we all know and love, like San Andreas, The Descendants, Nebraska, About Schmidt, to name just a few. And Varsity Blues. I just learned about this one. But of course, we all swooned over her brilliant costume design on Twilight. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. It's so good to see you.
I know.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of requests for you. We have a lot of people that are so interested in what went into, well, everything about what it took to make this film. But costumes are certainly a hot topic. Costumes or wardrobe and hair and makeup, I feel like, are something that we get asked about all the time. And, you know, we got to kind of see this evolution throughout the franchise, but you got to be the person who created everything and you got to be the person that gave us kind of the original look, I guess, that we got. So we're really, really excited to jump into that a bit later. First question we ask everybody, though, is did you notice the whole reason this podcast came about was because we noticed that there was this resurgence that happened. And a lot of that, I think, was due to us being on a bunch of different streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, all of these people who probably didn't know what Twilight was got kind of invested the same way that some of the original fans did. And so I'm curious if you saw that at all on your end.
I have not seen it at all, except I have started getting a few more requests for interviews from, I think there's a girl who impersonates you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Go Ask Alice?
Yeah.
Yes. So I got a request from her. I got a request from somebody else all around the same time a couple of months ago. So maybe that was the indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's all of a sudden this new interest for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, we're very excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Dive in.
I have a question. I'm super new to the movie making world. Yeah. At what point in the process does costume and hair and makeup typically come into
Well, probably at the end of pre-production or development. We usually get hired 6 to 8 weeks, like 4 on a low-budget movie, contemporary maybe. I can't remember if it was 6 or 8 weeks prep I had in this. It's never enough. Never ever enough.
There's a lot of us.
yeah. There's a lot. And... you know, we rely on a schedule as well. So, you know, so yes, there's a pre-production schedule and when we get actors and fittings and so forth. But as a shooting schedule, that's our blueprint for how we pace our work. Mm. So that, as in this case, got really crazy. because also, I think for the first time ever in my life, there was a big focus on PR. And a lot of press before and a lot of leaking to the fans. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of requests for pre-shoot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of ate into our prep time as well. So by the time we eventually got to Portland, I felt like we only had 2 weeks to do everything.
Wow.
That's a lot of work because it's, you know, I think about the fact that like I come in and we work together and you create this look for Alice, but then it has to play into whatever the scene is and whatever someone else is wearing. And so how do you, like, do you generally start with your process the same way that casting does, where it's generally like number one or number two, like Rob and Kristen, you figure out their outfits first and then you kind of start doing the surrounding cast to make sure that we all coordinate?
Yeah, well, you kind of do it all together. And so I really started the process before I got the job, because...
Sounds like you would have had to.
I don't know. There were probably other people vying for the job too. I don't know. I try not to think about competition. but in order to wow a director and producers, like the unsaid request for us as designers is we kind of have to go in and sell on a concept. So I went in with what seemed like an unusual concept. I decided that when I read the books and like I was left with this image of people locked in time and that they'd kind of crystallized in a way. So to me, that was my pivot point for the design was I wanted to have white and crystal colors and blues and kind of that was what was resonating for me. So that's what I went in and sold like to Catherine, you know, white and blue and kind of frozen things. So I think I'd done boards for everybody. I'd done a board for like all the characters, mm-hmm. and then all the background as well. So, you know, a general board for background. And the other concept I went in with, which they ran with, was I thought that the Cullens should have a signature jewelry of some sort, like a family crest.
Yeah.
So, and that got turned into, you know, elements for everybody to wear them differently. And that, I think, got carried on into the rest of the franchise. Mm-hmm.
It was a staple for
that's yeah. so interesting with the colors that you said, because after meeting Catherine, it sounds like the color palette that you went for is exactly what she had in mind, just an overall hue and vibe was that bluey, crystally look.
Yeah, when you come in, how much of that, because she is very invested, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
When you met with her, did she kind of go like, this is my idea, or did she let you kind of run with it and say, just tell me exactly what you think?
She let me run with it.
Nice.
Yes. And I did not know that she was already in that mindset. So, and I love that when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, we're on the same page. This is going to be a great collaboration. You know, ideas will bounce.
It's the same. I feel like it's similar to, and I'm finding this with everyone, like directors, mm-hmm. Any kind of, any department, any piece of the puzzle, like everyone, you have to kind of just bring your own spin to something and hope that it fits into the puzzle.
Yeah.
There's everyone kind of has to come and bring a piece of themselves and it either works or it doesn't. If it doesn't, it's not personal, but like there's just so many elements that go into making what people see on screen.
So many. I mean, I find it always astonishing and quite magical that so much could go wrong. And then when it's all right, it's like, gives me tingles, really.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that happened. Like all those elements happened. How is that possible?
Well, you see, I mean, it's like, we've all, like, I've been a part of things where, like, you see when it doesn't go right and you're just like, oh, you know, and like,
let's do it again.
Yeah. You can hope, but it's, you know, what you see on the script is just not what you see on screen.
Yeah.
We talked about this too with the baseball scene. In so many ways, it was wildly different than what I had in my mind of what we actually saw on screen. And while we were filming on the day, a lot of the cast members were just like, oh, God, what? Well, how is this going to turn out? And like, and God bless Catherine, because she's visionary and like she got it. But we were all just like, what is happening? And, you know, like it was like raining.
So miserable.
How was that? I feel like I think we end up adding hats, right? Like, because it was.
Well, no, some of those hats were fitted, like at the original fitting at Universal. And then, I don't know, well, all those under things were added too, like the unseen elements for keeping people warm, like through the whole movie, really. I mean, and you have no expectation.
Yeah, make those work with what you've already had. I remember like a lot of cutting and like maneuvering to keep us warm, but still hold the integrity of what you had designed.
Yeah. Yeah. We try.
Yeah, it was, and I don't do well with the cold, so bless you for helping me, but like I just get chilled to the bone, so I was.
you can only be out for 30 minutes in that kind of weather. And
it's just the wet, the damp coldness.
Yeah, it's the damp.
It gets to you.
Days. And I remember huddling in a hut somewhere close to that location, because even getting to that location was an issue.
We had to hike up everywhere.
Yeah. And my poor crew was, you know, schlepping bundles of stuff, as we do.
Yeah, nobody knows this part, but yeah, that was the what you see. I mean, it's similar to what's behind us. What you see is so beautiful on screen, but it was not fun to shoot in.
Yeah. That was like we just discovered that is known as the most iconic scene throughout the entire saga, was that baseball scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I watched that this morning and I think, like, yeah, it really is phenomenal.
Yeah.
All the right things came together for that one.
Yeah.
I'd love to backtrack for a bit.
Yes.
How did Twilight come to you?
Yeah.
Came from my agent. And so immediately I had no idea what was out there, what kind of fan base was out there, like what the phenomena was already before the movie was even made. I mean, it was astonishing. I never experienced anything like it.
So guys, the holidays are just around the corner and it can be a little bit stressful. If you're like me, you're probably still looking for that special perfect gift for someone in your life. I always try and find something that is really specific to that person, not just kind of the, the ordinary here's a gift card type gift. But sometimes that's difficult. But I have a secret weapon for you. If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you are shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. I love, love, love how unique each item is. I am telling you, this is my go-to for finding things that are just really, that give people that feeling of being special and knowing that I really put time and effort and thought of them whenever I got them a gift. The other thing I love here is that when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. They're fine products that are often made in small batches. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They have donated more than $2.5 million to date. So, to get 15% off your next very unique gift, go to uncommongoods.com/twilighteffect. That's uncommongoods.com/twilighteffect for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Were you aware of the books at the time it came to you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Same.
Yeah.
But were they as, whenever I remember auditioning and they, like the breakdowns was like, girl, 17, vampire, like they didn't tell us anything. Were they kind of as secretive when it came to you? I read the books because I didn't have anything to go on for the audition.
So you didn't have a script?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. And literally the breakdown was like, for Edward, it was like boy, 18, high school. Alice was like girl. It was very nondescript.
Yeah.
So I had to read the books to get any kind of insight. Yeah. But you seem like you had a little bit more.
Well, I think, I had a script. Yeah. So there was that.
Yeah, I did not get the script. I was also not established, so you had a leg up.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, and that's typical of the process for me is, get a script. You know, you read it. If you're interested, you'll say to your agent, love it, or like, oh no, I don't know, it's not my thing, or it's too violent in my case these days, or it's too, or I have to go away too far and long to do it.
Yep.
So there's all these other elements that come into, is it a great job for me? But, you know, very often everything aligns. And I felt like this was one that aligned for me at that point in time, also for my career. So I got the script and then I just feverishly devoured everything that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the books, what the fans were saying, what they were thinking, whatever I could get my hands on. And then I remember doing a lot of tear sheets of things. I mean, I might still have them somewhere. I think I made just one for jewelry because I love the accessories and I love jewelry and I love to make it. And to me, you know, I think I had like a bunch of stuff for Alice.
Mm-hmm. She's a fun one.
Yeah. Aunt Rosalie some. So I did all that. And I may have also, I think I took that also with my, because I did, you know, like proper paste boards, which we did then. We now we do more digital presentations, but back then I would do the cut and paste. Mm-hmm. Schlepped all these boards over to Culver City and didn't know if I got the job.
Did you feel, we talk a lot about the pressures that, I mean, a lot of people felt throughout the creation of this movie to match what the book was.
Yeah.
Did you feel any of that pressure with wardrobe?
Yes, I think I acknowledged it, but I didn't feel any pressure. There's pressure coming everywhere else that, you know, that was one I didn't need to add.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they don't talk about the clothing a ton in the book, but they definitely set a tone.
Yeah. There was enough. I remember highlighting and, you know, that was, I also do character breakdowns too, you know, before I do a meeting. So, you know, I'll highlight everything I can glean. It's like you have to be a detective.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, you probably do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the translation for me personally, as somebody who went and read all the books before seeing any of the movies, that part translated really well for me. I mean, it looked... It looked exactly as I would have imagined. Especially Alice, for whatever reason, me, my mom, and my best friend, who were all feverishly devouring, I love that, by the way, all the Twilight books and anything we can get our hands on before it came out. We all focused in on Alice. She just seemed to have the detail in the personality, the detail in her clothing, the detail in her hair, seems more detailed than...
Well, she, I think, you know, Alice did have a lot of fun with fashion and she, I think, lent herself to that. And like, I think that's why, for me, it was so fun to be able to play her because she was very into, like, she loves planning things and she likes fashion and was a very just like vibrant, bright, fun character.
Yeah. I liked her ability to see in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was the best.
Did you have a favorite character to dress?
Well, there's so many. I think it's hard to pick one, although, you know, maybe Alice, maybe.
We're not biased here.
Probably, because I had more of a handle on her. Sometimes, you know, it's more fun when you really know that you've nailed a character, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you'll create a couple of looks on the set, and then you'll see that they work, and then you'll start being out in the store and you'll see other things that kind of work to embellish and even add to that character. So, I think Edward got pretty established pretty well on.
Mm-hmm. That coat.
Yeah.
That coat.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I like that coat. I like that coat because it's got all that beautiful texture in it, too. You know, I think that's the great thing about that
you
coat.
You got that coat for your boyfriend, didn't you?
I was just going to say that. I got that coat for my boyfriend at the time just because
really
I needed it to just walk around my house on a human body or any, it was just the coloring. I'm very into like heather grays and stuff. That's my color. Mm-hmm. The texture, the shape, everything, his hair and his head popping out of it. The whole thing was perfect for me. And it is now like the most iconic coat.
You do.
You could own.
Did you have anything that stuck out to you that you can remember in the script that you were maybe not so much character, but like moments that you were excited to plan for or dress for?
The other vampires
They were cool.
Yeah. I will say Catherine had a lot of directive there. And
so I think
she had a lot of input.
Yeah, that
on
makes
them.
Sense.
Yeah.
Meaning the extended, not the Cullens, outside of the Cullens?
The bad vampires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laurent and Victoria and
James. Oh, yeah. That was a totally, they all had very different
looks.
It
was like this burst
and different colors.
Yeah.
Blacks and reds and.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way Laurent turned out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too. You know, I could even, there's so much I would do different now. I mean, I think that could be like another podcast even.
What would you do different?
What would you do differently 10 years on now that, you know, you're 10 years along in your career?
The wisdom, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be so interesting to get everyone who worked on the original project to redo it, how they would do it differently now. Because if you got other people doing it differently, that doesn't count. But if you had all the same people doing what they would have changed, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any major challenges?
It was all a major challenge. It was hard to pick one. Yeah. The weather, the finding of multiples. You know, this is one thing I wanted to say when I hear negative feedback, and of course a lot of it's valid, and like I said, that spurred me into what would I do differently. If I was to make excuses for myself, it would be that my experience has told me how to manage things differently, how to actually ask for more. Really, I think that might be a key. Ask for more crew, ask for more money. I mean, because now what I know now, it could have been so much better.
Yeah.
We could have pivoted so easy, you know, with more crew and more money to the challenges of the weather and the changing schedule and the last minute casting and the production changes of, I know we did a camera test, I think, a week before to find out that white was not really a great color for the DP.
What is DP?
Director of photography.
Oh.
So he was not enamored with that, even though I had showed him
what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, so I actually did a lot of rush dyeing of Alice's outfits, even like
that's
that,
stressful.
That light,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, and this was just days before shooting. I think we might've done the camera test on the Friday and went straight to that scene the next couple of days. So
just lose years of the course.
And you
of
just
a weekend.
Got, you got yeah. the outfits yeah. that you had picked out and you had to dye them.
Some that were dyeable, you know, if you, I've noticed that jacket that she wears at the school when Bella arrives is like lilac-y.
Mm.
That was white. I threw that in a navy dye at the last minute and it took. So got this beautiful silvery purple. I mean, some things work in your favor, you know, mistakes happen sometimes
Happy
for a reason.
Accident, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to rewatch it again.
Now with all this insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any like really bizarre requests from either side?
Oh. Ooh.
I'm sure Catherine Sometimes. Had some.
Yes. I think she wanted Victoria to wear a pair of her pants that she loved. And
a pair of Catherine's pants?
Yes, a pair of leather pants. Okay. Although that's not the reason I went back. I remember getting the keys to her apartment or hotel room in, where were we, Vancouver?
Portland.
Yeah. And with a request to go get that because I want to see that. I wanted to use that on somebody. I don't remember who it was for. She probably would.
Yeah.
You know, as a collaborator, you know, you say, let's try it.
And then try and find something similar.
Yes,
so we can
in
get
multiples.
Doubles. Yeah.
That is one of the supreme challenges of what we do is you can find a great look. And of course, you know, I would be shopping for her in the thrift stores or like the vintage stores for beautiful, you know, 20s clothes.
Right.
Which seemed to be the right fit for the era of the Alice character. But you don't get multiples. You have to build them. So you have to make them, in which case you have to source the materials. You have to get enough fabric for multiples. We didn't have the budget or the time for any of that. So
why do you need multiples?
All those people flying around and doing stunts.
Oh.
They are stunt doubles. And then we have photo doubles.
And you get blood on anything.
Blood, yeah. Ripped.
These are the things I just never think about.
Mm-hmm. Every time they do wire work, they have to wear... a harness, mm-hmm. and you know, so the wires have to attach somewhere. So you have to open up their real costumes so that they can get into the harness.
Oh.
So you blow a few outfits that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And how much, this is a lot. How much crew do you have when you, well.
Never enough.
Like,
never enough.
Yeah.
Now I've worked on some other bigger features of this quantity, I would say, like, we have like a whole unit of a background that will just be fitting background constantly.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah. So, you know, not only am I caring and designing the look of all these principal characters, you know, I'm also responsible for all those people you see in the background. So all those people at the prom, all the other big scenes, you know, I have to, you know, if we ever do pre-fits, which is like we bring the background actors in and we fit them and my crew will take photos of them and then I will pick an outfit out of those, you know, given my brief, given that we've already pulled racks of stuff that's suitable, then all that's time. But now on a bigger show that I would ask for is a, you know, is a unit that does that. So it's my background costume unit. So that I can focus on the principles,
mm-hmm.
but I still have to dip into the background world and be responsible on the day. So while I might be dealing, you know, on the day of in and out of the trailers with the principles ready to go to set, someone on the set looking at the background might be sending me images. But that
so
tends to be what
on.
Happens now. It probably didn't happen then because we didn't have like the phones. Capability and the internet capability, but now I'll have someone on set who's doing my background, especially if it's contemporary and they're bringing their own clothes, like, okay, here's a group shot of, you know, five people, and I'll look at it and say, you know, no, change number five, change number three, change those shoes, hate those, you know, as well as being in principal
right
world, and thinking of the next day's work and probably having actors fly in and fit them that day at the end of setting up the day's work, you know, on set.
Glamorous. So glamorous.
Oh, it's so glamorous.
That's exhausting job.
It's exhausting.
Did you ever have, I'm curious on this or other jobs, like where you just have a butting of heads of like, because a lot of times like, then I definitely didn't, but now I'll come in and go like, this is my idea of the character and this is what I think and this is what I think looks great and like, you know, especially working with this many cast members, like, was there ever kind of a moment where, like, you just were not on the same page as a cast member that you're dressing?
Not in this movie, although Rob was particular about jeans, brands and things.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we see anything.
Yeah. It's all covered
but
by jackets.
But that's what we do. It's a comfort level. And I didn't know they were going to shoot everything close up or mid close up. I mean, we don't see a lot of full body of anybody really except baseball.
But you have to be prepared for it.
You do.
You know?
You do. You have to do the shoes. You have to do everything. You have to do the underwear. You know, everything has to be right.
Underwear.
You just don't know. Well, if it's a period piece, for example.
Especially guys, boxers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I never noticed.
I worked in like doing what period pieces. Like I was on Pan Am and like the pointy bras and the girdles and like the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is
beautiful,
but like I do not envy those women during that time.
No, you've got to start with a silhouette. You know, when you think if you ever look at, you know, a period of costume design from, you know, 1900 to 2000, you know, you can pick a silhouette for each decade. And a silhouette requires undergarments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There is so much more to this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much more to the entire process than I ever knew because I'm, you know, a stay-at-home mom. I'm not in this industry, but it's like, it's mind-blowing. Did you work directly with the hair and makeup design as well or team?
Coordination.
Yeah. Well, they come in later than us usually, and I do like to. And when we have, look, I think this is another hindsight thing. What would I do 10 years on? I would have we did have a sketch artist, but she was only on for a couple of weeks. And I remember she helped me develop the jewelry anyway. So she did do some other sketches, which I had. But I would bring on a sketch artist for everybody, in which case that's where you see the visual of the hair and makeup too. So you kind of get the whole thing.
It's kind of like a design, like an architect designer,
before
you do a room or something.
Yeah. So you do the whole thing. But it happened so fast that I think it was, you know, they were brought on later. I don't really remember how. I know we did a big fitting day at Universal. It was fitting hair and wigs and makeup that day.
Which, like, we didn't end up, I know for me at least, like, didn't end up using it. Like, we were still, like, the day before shooting, figuring out my wig. So what we did at Universal didn't even stick. Wigs.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy. That was an 8-hour day of fittings and hair and makeup, and it was wild. I'd never experienced and never have experienced anything like that. Yeah. Because, I mean, usually, you know, in a prep space, especially if you're out of town, you're in a prep space where everybody's together. Mm-hmm. So, and one of something like that would be tabled on a calendar. So you'd have everybody together and prepared. But this was very spontaneous.
Yeah.
And wild.
They're like, just throw.
Yeah.
And yeah. Makes sense for this film.
Yeah.
Just throw it all together. See what works.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I was clearing that up and making sense of it all. And I mean, it was good, productive time. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to go into kind of specifics of some of these like characters and these iconic pieces that people have come to know and love. Obviously, we love Alice's wardrobe. I'm very biased on that. But I think we jump into to Edwards in the book. So he is described as being impossibly beautiful.
Yeah.
Bella compares him to the mythical Greek god Adonis. No pressure. But how do you take any of that into account? How do you approach that? And also, going back to this, like, I guess Rob specifically, like, apart from his genes, did he just kind of let you create that pillar of perfection?
I think Rob and I really worked together. I mean, I brought certain things to the fitting and the table, and like is typical. I mean, and then we refined the look, but I think we were both pretty clear that it was going to be something pretty simple, and then I think the more we worked together, it got even simpler. So, you know, I think he moved into, you know, grays a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I might have my fitting photos somewhere way back. I wish I'd looked
Gold.
At them. Yeah, you know, but I remember putting him in other things, but landing on gray, because just of, I think it worked with the pale, to work with the color of his skin, because white with that skin was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that certain shade of gray worked with him. He was cast, I think he was almost decided on when I interviewed for the job. So, I mean, I can only take so much from a book or a direction who are they going to cast?
Yeah.
Who are they going to cast? And I mean, and that tells me so much. I mean, I can do all the prep in the world, but until I know what that person looks like, what their body's like, what they're capable
of.
Yeah, it really is like a guessing game. One thing I remember us doing is going shopping together.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't get to do a lot.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No.
No. That was a rare thing because we had time. Mm-hmm. And we were invested.
It's really fun when you get to be a part of the process that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just easier, right? I mean, unless I was like wild and crazy and veered off, but like you have the person there.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to say like, I love this or I don't love this, or what does this look like on you?
I know.
Yeah.
And the stores love it too.
Yeah.
Well, they were quite impressed. But that was for your prom dress, right? But you didn't, saw that outfit.
No.
Was it for the prom?
Which happens, yeah, I think it was for prom.
Yeah. That was the best one of all, I think.
And it was never shown?
No.
Where were you at prom?
She did.
I think they just didn't focus on us.
Yeah.
But you were like, it was definitely
did you go
in
to
it,
a location?
From like Europe.
Why did you just get cut?
I think I got cut from
it.
Yeah,
because it's too cold. We don't want to send out. It's send out extra so cars. Nice. We'll never see.
yeah, and I mean that happens where they kind of go like, especially I don't remember where we shot this in this schedule, but like sometimes towards the end of a shoot too, they're just like, "What's more important? Mm-hmm. How much time do we have? Are we really going to do a cutaway of them? No, we need to make our days."
Yeah.
So you know, Bella and Edward are obviously the key factor and the important part of it, and so they'll cut stuff. So some of the wonderful outfits that you have planned out, you don't even get to use.
Yeah. That's such a bummer.
And then sometimes they just cut it in editing, and I know. That's a real bummer.
And sometimes you it's another conscious design action I do is, you know, if someone's got a really great outfit and the others aren't so great, you try and place that in what has the most screen time.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But when you've got another million, you know, it's a jigsaw puzzle at the end of the day, you know, trying to place things for a scene. You know, not only does everybody have to work together, you know, you have to track what action happens to certain characters after that, and do they need a jacket on, and, you know, is the jacket going to go with that outfit? Yeah, there's just so many choices.
I'm not going to lie, it sounds wildly overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't envy you.
I mean,
that's why I take a lot of time off.
I could sit here, this could go on for hours, like, how did you get into this? And I could ask you a million questions, but...
You know, it's super fun is when they're like, we're going to add her to the scene.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot.
And then just like mess everything up, or you're like, okay, well, we have everything else laid out. So
depends if you have an outfit for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you'll say yes and you regret your decision. Like you should have stood your ground and said to production, like, I really don't have anything. Like, you know, it's midnight. The stores aren't open. It works tomorrow.
The budget didn't call for extra outfits.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough too. Cause you always, I always want to say yes. You always want to make it work. You want to be a team player, but like sometimes it's, you got to stand your ground.
Was there a specific incident like that in Twilight? Instance?
No, I don't recall. But at the same time, it's just something I've learned now, like 10 years on, that don't compromise your work.
Yeah. Well, listening to your intuition as well always seems to almost be the answer in every circumstance, situation.
Yeah, but you don't know because, as Ashley said, you know, we want to be team players and say, you know,
I can get it done.
Yeah. And 99% of the time we do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that one time, and then that scene becomes the poster, and before you know it, you know, it's all over town in billboards, and, you know, it's like, a book cover, or, you know, you just never know.
The pressure.
Yeah.
So I think about the, where is it in Forks where they have the clothes up in a museum? Was it the Twilight Forks Museum?
Oh, yeah.
How cool is it?
What's this?
They actually have like a museum of the Twilight like costumes.
They do?
Mm-hmm. I haven't been, but it's...
Well, that answers one question.
Yes.
Have you been there?
I guess I need to be invited.
Yeah.
Hello, Forks Museum.
Well, maybe we should all go together.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, how cool is like, how do you feel about that? I mean, that's so cool. Has it happened to any of your other movies where they...
Yes, actually. I'm told, I did a Amazon show called The Romanoffs, and we shot one of the episodes in Mexico City, and Matt Weiner, the director, had this idea that he wanted the, one of the murals to come to life, and it is in the the museum. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, it's amazing.
Wow.
So my crew in Mexico like made these things from scratch. They dyed feathers. Like they did these all traditional I have great documentation of that. And apparently the museum has taken it in.
That's so cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's, so you got to be so proud of that.
Yeah, that's...
Well, now you have two museums with your clothes in them.
Recognized, yeah.
That's awesome. Where do we know where the jacket lives, the coat?
Rob's?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your husband has it.
He should. I would be very happy if he did.
I don't know. Maybe it's in the... We got to look and see what the museum has.
Yeah.
I would like to know where that coat is. I'd like to see it in person. I'd like to smell it, just like a little sniff.
We have a picture of his prom outfit. Was there a lot going into that? Because I feel like with suits and guys, like, it seems really easy, but there's a lot of... there's a lot of detail that goes into that too.
Yeah. That was a beautiful Gucci suit. And, you know, if you pay high end prices, you know, you get good quality and a good fit.
Yeah.
Usually.
That's, I love a Prada suit on a man because they're always the like slim fits. And
Yeah.
There's a big difference between suit
Gucci
fits.
And
I mean, I don't want to say an expensive one and a non-expensive one, but I mean,
it is tailored differently though.
I mean, you can have like a dress, you could have a dress and it could be pretty tragic, and then you can have like a dress and it is made for someone on their body and it just absolutely is an entirely different experience visually, and I'm sure for the person wearing it. But a suit can definitely go wrong many ways. That was a good suit.
Bella is described as being petite and a very translucent pale complexion. She has thick, long brown hair, a wide forehead, a widow's peak. Her eyes are described as being chocolate brown and widely spaced.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Well, that's casting.
Yeah. Caster, how did you approach Bella and her look? And I'm assuming Kristen had some opinions.
Yeah. They were driven by the book and Catherine, really, that, you know, and her coming from Phoenix. I mean, this is, you know, also the stuff we do as storytellers, visual storytellers, is, you know, create characters. And yes, she was displaced. She was in Phoenix. This is like a hot and summery place. We figured that she didn't have many coats, that coat she grabs, that we don't see her in a coat or a jacket in Phoenix, but that coat she maybe grabbed off her dad's coat rack as she left the house that day, and she didn't really know how to dress for cool weather. So, you know, that she didn't have money, but she went to vintage stores and she bought vintage stuff. So that's where the bowling shirt came in. And, you know, that layering thing was big 10 years ago, you know.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And a lot of, in like new age ways, actually.
I feel like a lot of 90s stuff is coming back.
Yeah, 90s.
It is, but that particular look is coming back in a nice way. Like, for example, like a sheer long sleeve shirt, but with a huge band t-shirt over it, but then also dressing it up. So you look, it actually looks kind of good if you do it right.
Yeah.
Of course, definitely. If you do it right. But that look has definitely come back around. And I don't know that I'm mad at it, being honest. It's a great way of like making dual use out of your closet, like you said, with her not having the appropriate wear for where she's just moved to.
Yeah.
Doubling up your wardrobe to, it makes sense.
Yeah.
We're into it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's her prom look. And how was that? Because I imagine it's, again, different from the tradition, like how you would, most girls would approach prom, because she's not.
Yeah.
She's not really a fan of dancing. We know
not
that.
Not a fan of dancing. She doesn't want to go to prom, really. I think she's a reluctant, participant in most school things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a last minute shop for that dress, and we didn't have anything. I don't know why we didn't have anything. But I went out, well, maybe it wasn't anything I loved. So I went out at the last minute. And again, I needed multiples. And again, the weather turned something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible. That was the coldest, miserable night ever. And I had to find something that I could layer her up in, which is hence how the cardigan jacket came in, which I found in a thrift store. And even though it was a double, and it wasn't a double, and she needed a double, I think, like that got cheated on with, sometimes you can cheat over layers on a double.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like you can swap them out.
Yeah.
But everybody was miserable that night. It was just awful.
So, nights suck. The weather sucks.
Yeah.
Those are not the most fun.
No. And that was the end of the movie shoot.
So you were exhausted.
Yeah. And it was night, and nights are hard.
They are hard. 4 a.m. is just rough. Yeah.
Oh, that's what you mean by night.
Yeah. So
okay. So that's morning.
Yeah. Well, you basically shoot from the time it's dark till the time that it's too light to shoot again.
Yeah. It could be 6 a.m. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Yeah.
Those are super duper fun.
Yeah.
Okay. This was not yours, but we do want to look at her wedding dress, and
yes,
I would love your opinion on this and the styling and how you think she kind of evolved.
Yeah, I mean, it looks very new Bella. Mm-hmm. It's pretty. I love, like, her body looks great in it.
Yeah.
I think it. I love that it's slender and just body fitting with that detail at the back.
Yeah, the back detail is really pretty.
Yeah.
I feel like Alice probably made her.
Yeah.
Helped her pick out this dress.
Does it say in the book or the movie where that dress came from? Like if she picked it, if Alice picked it? I don't remember any origination from that whatsoever.
I think that she had something to do with it. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, she had to have.
Like there was the whole scene with her helping
her
get ready and she's like, oh, I have the dress.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't in there, that's the assumption. Because we know Alice loves a party, loves to dress people, loves surprises. So.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that Bella would pick to bedazzle the back of her own dress.
Bedazzle.
Like if she embellish.
It looks like she would have picked out the front of the dress, not the back of the dress.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like you came along and you're like, yeah, can you just cut some out right here and just add some fun stuff?
Yeah.
It's funny.
For the fun of it, we'll just say that that's what happened.
It's like Alice a mullet dress. It's like business in the front dress. And like a party in the back.
Mullets are apparently in style right now.
They are back.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
All right.
I just came back from Nashville. It's true.
Oh, well, I could understand Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
That way inclined.
Yeah. Here. I think it's, I blame Stranger Things. I think Stranger Things had a lot to do with the mullet coming back.
Theirs are better mullets, though. Anyway, this brings us to the most exciting part of the conversation.
Alice's
wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yay.
So she was described as very beautiful person, petite, the shortest of the Cullens at 4'10" in the books, thin with small pixie-like features.
I think all of the girls in the movie were shorter than me, by the way.
Really?
I think Kristen's a little shorter than me and Nikki definitely is.
How tall are you?
I'm almost 5'6".
Yeah.
So
that
was fun.
Well, but bring on the flat shoes.
I know. I was like, I felt so bad. Nikki was always in these like high heels.
Yeah.
And I was in flats always or most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, all the better to climb trees. So
yeah, I was into it.
Yeah.
I love that.
You think like when you're going through wardrobe fittings, it's like this balance, right? Where you're like, oh, these shoes look incredible. Like it looks incredible. Yeah. And then you start thinking about shooting a night in them and being in them for 12, 14 hours.
I know.
Yeah.
But do people know that you take them off sometimes, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I take mine off all the time.
Yeah. We do that here.
But, I mean, it's just a dumb thing. That's what I always watch shows and think, okay, yeah, they're wearing them just for that scene.
Now they're standing on a box.
Yeah.
I remember always thinking I wish that they made, especially being in like places like Portland and Vancouver, that they made like UGG boots, but with platforms so that you could get away, you know, when you're shooting the clothes, that you could get away.
Okay, there's my $1 million retirement idea.
Yeah, if you could make that happen, please, I will buy them.
Platform UGGs.
Yeah.
For
film.
Yeah.
Platform UGGs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then you could be warm and you would still maintain your height. Because the tough part is that if you're standing still, it's fine. They'll like put you on an apple box or something. But like if you're walking.
An apple box. Like an apple crate?
No.
It's just like a wooden box.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why they call it an apple box. But
it might have been.
Could have been at one time.
Might have been. But I thought apple boxes had some openings on the sides. Fruit boxes.
I
think about the Green Mile when he was made to just look absolutely massive,
mm-hmm.
when actually he's quite short.
Yeah.
Was quite short. You know?
Angles and
boxes.
Tricks.
Boxes. Yeah.
Some of your best items didn't last long enough on the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed more screen time, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So this outfit we have here with the black kind of like strut cardigan and the gray, I feel like this was one of the more iconic, like I saw this
become
picture everywhere. And, and people, like I see a lot of cosplaying in this particular outfit.
Have they found that same dress?
Maybe. Or they had it made.
It's incredible what they do.
Yeah.
Yep. And I do remember stitching you into that little shruggy cardigan the last minute. Again, to keep you warm.
I'm like, were the pants also an add-on, or was that always a part of it? Because it's...
I don't know, I think they were a part of it.
It's just so cute. I love it so much.
Yay.
Yeah.
There were other cute things. We had a lot of cute outfits for you that didn't make it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a lot of really good stuff. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is the first outfit we showed up was the where you meet everyone.
Yeah.
So this is the initial scene.
This is the intro.
Yeah.
The introduction of
all
of us.
It's like Rosalie's shoes. Those are the same shoes she was wearing when Bella came over for dinner.
I love that you know these details.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so, right? The silvery ones?
Yes.
Well, because she drops the salad bowl.
Yes, yes. You're right.
There you go. Yep. Because she drops the salad bowl, and then all of a sudden you see these, you know, these shoes. You can't really miss it.
That's probably why I love that the dress and that outfit so much, is because that's the one we were talking about previously, is where I jump off the tree.
Yeah.
I'm like, hi, I'm Alice. We're going to be best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best scene. And how nice that you get to wear those shoes and she has to wear those shoes.
Well, that's what she gets for being cast as Rosalie.
Yeah.
Rosalie's the supermodel and I'm, you know, the pixie princess.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me how the baseball scene came together, because it's, I feel like, how do you make... We all, you know, obviously are like slightly different, have our own style, but it's cohesive.
Yeah.
So walk me through that.
Well, I'd say most of that happened in that 8-hour day in Universals.
Mm-hmm.
And between me and my crew, we were running in and out of, because we were unprepared for a fitting of this type.
Yeah.
So we were running into the stacks of the Universal rentals, getting baseball stuff, baseball hats. Like, what have we got? What else can we pull out? And again, in multiples. But I mean, just finding one iconic look is prime before you, and then you start working on your multiples. So if you feel like you've nailed a character, yes, I've always loved Rosalie's outfit in this. I think that is really her too. Because we see her legs and I've always loved a stripy sock. I don't know. I just did a bunch of fittings. I went a bunch of different things and then decided from there what they looked like as a group, and then worked on embellishing that. I think probably the first to settle was Edward and Rosalie, and then the rest came. But you were fitted in that when you came to Universal too.
Yeah, I remember
what do
that.
You remember trying on?
I don't. I just remember that one. Yeah. I just remember being really excited. Like I felt really cool in it, and being excited about it, and it fit well and was comfortable. And I loved that moment. I feel bad for Jackson, because that was the first day that we shot.
Yes,
and it was so cold. And it was before we had like heating tents set up, and it was just like we were not ready.
So he was the coldest, you think?
Because
he just had the baseball t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, right? He was dressing us when we're vampires and we're not supposed to, you know, it's not like we get cold.
Yeah.
But trying to like make us stylish and appropriate, but also not allow us to freeze to death.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And guy had heat packs like just all underneath.
So many contingencies.
This outfit.
So the hats, I remember, were added because of the rain, but then
some
you said
of
you
them.
I did,
because you also fitted for them as well.
I remember fitting that the cub was the one on Rosalie, and I think the ones on the set that day were added to Bella and what's the mom's name again?
Esme.
Yeah, Esme.
Yes, there weren't as quite as many hats, but I don't know. It came together great. I love that scene so much.
Yeah. And then I remember last minute designing Emmett's tracksuit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing. We were sweating on a product placement from, I think we got Puma in the end, arriving on time. in multiples, in the right color, because I was heading down, we couldn't find anything we'd like anywhere. And Catherine got quite specific and there was nothing available anywhere. And I remember going down a custom made. I remember swatching fabrics and trim and ribbing, which is always the hardest thing because it needs to be custom made and you need like a 14-week lead time.
Yeah.
And like I knew that that wasn't going to happen. So then we had to pursue any vendor possible. And I know it wasn't Catherine's first choice. It was not my first choice. But that's how it ended because of all the criteria that we deal with.
Oh, I mean, gosh, it looks like exactly how he should be dressed, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ended up being okay, but it was probably very stressful getting to that point.
I mean, at some point you've got to trust and just settle with what happens. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is trust of what I do is knowing that you've done everything you can and then trusting that the right thing turns up at the right time.
Yeah. So talk me through the wolves and Jacob and that process because we know.
They didn't have much wardrobe, did they?
Yeah. Well, I think I did. I did quite a bit of research on the local reservations, mm-hmm. and I was fascinated by the legends of the tribe. And I just, you know, amalgamated any info I had for that, and you know, assuming they live off the land and they're not a lot of money and he stays on the reservation, that it wasn't going to be anything, you know, it was going to be set in reality mm-hmm. from what I could see, which was just the youth of its day.
Yep.
So I wouldn't recall anything that he had specifically. I think his hair and his face and the casting made him his character.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was just a bit nondescript. It was just like they all had, we joke about it because of how often they destroy their clothes by transforming into wolves.
They have to shop in multiples probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just pictured the wardrobe, like just being all the same white shirt, all black shirt, the same shorts and their entire behind the scenes of, not behind the scenes, in the movie behind the scenes, but if they were
real life,
like what they're behind the scenes of managing that entire situation would look like.
You gotta have one of them that knows how to sew.
Yeah.
I mean, no, because they're like literally, exploded
as in make their own clothes.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
That, just take that.
I'm like, they can't sew that up. That's destroyed.
Oh my God.
There's always something that defies the practical reasoning and logical sense in what
don't
we
you
do.
Just like hate I'm like sometimes I'm they're like it's because it's a movie and that's what it is. I'm like, I hate that. But you have to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to let it go and understand that it's movie magic.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Even when I'm watching things now. Like
How hard is it for you to just watch a film and not pick apart everything?
Yeah. It's a conscious effort I have to make.
Yeah.
Like, no, just
enjoy the movie.
Just enjoy the movie. But again, I'll be taken out by something wonderful. Mm. Yeah.
Did the fact that they rip their clothes off all the time have any...
They didn't really do it in the first one.
They didn't do it in the first one.
Oh, no, of course not. Just kidding. Yeah, but that sets the tone. Did you have to think about that? Like what would come in the next movies because you are setting the tone?
Yeah. I did think about it. Yeah. I really wanted to do the rest of them. I really did. Because again, it was like, okay, I've learned this much. Mm-hmm. I've just started to paint the characters.
Yeah.
I was so ready to embellish it and fill in the lines of everything. But that's what happens.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee.
I mean, it was kind of, I think, unfortunate. Everybody, except for the cast.
Yeah.
But like everything surrounding us changed all the time.
Yeah.
And I really wish that there had been a little bit more consistency with being able to kind of, you know, carry everyone throughout the whole franchise.
Yeah.
But
it's so, I mean, I'm so removed from this again, of course, but it's such a wild leap of trust and thinking, I don't know, just the whole thing to just remove who has worked this far to get to where you got.
Yeah.
On something so successful and then be like, great, you got to the end of it and you did great, but now we're just going to try again.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, it just seems so risky. And every single
Well, it's like, and then you have like these new people coming in, and then it's how they have a vision. Yeah. You have kind of what you have already set. And so like trying to like meld those two things is makes it a little bit more difficult. All right. We are going to go into something called rapid fire. Before we let you go, it's very fun. Don't be nervous.
I just rip off like five different questions and you don't need to think much about it. Just first thing that comes to your mind. Easy questions. First one, favorite character.
Ooh, I kind of like Edward, really.
Me too.
Yeah.
I really like Edward.
Yeah. That's why we all fell in love with Twilight, right?
Yeah.
I really like Edward.
You really like him.
You really like him.
You bought your boyfriend his pea coat.
I know.
I'm like, maybe we should do your hair for a minute here. Oh
my God. Okay. If you could play a character, who would you choose?
Ooh. I want to be mercurial like Alice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 It's a good one.
Light and...
It was just such a joy to play her.
Yeah, I would say joyful is probably her word.
I was like, I always said I got to go to work every day and for the most part just be happy and joyful and positive. And there was some, for other characters, it was not like poor Rosalie.
Yeah.
You know, was definitely not in that same headspace. So I was very grateful.
Yeah.
I feel like you and Emmett got to show up and just be happy and everyone else was very stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very affected by the surroundings, everything.
Alice is the person I wish I could be in real life.
You kind of are.
I don't know. I just like things planned out too much.
So did Alice.
To be carefree.
Well, that's the part they miss out.
If I could see the future and know that everything would work out.
It always does.
Yeah.
It always does.
That's what my husband says. He's like, it's going to work out. I'm like, it works out because I plan it. Anyways.
Mortal or immortal?
Immortal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is there a time cap on that or... Well, like she kind of said she wanted to live till 350.
Yeah, I was like, well, I don't want to be around forever, but like if I could get, if I could have vitality for 350 years.
Yeah.
I would like it.
That's a good, if our world's going to be around that long.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Where are we going to be, Mars?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, I would ask, I feel like I already know the answer to this one, but Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Oh, you know, I'm going Team Jacob here.
Wow,
I'm gonna surprise you. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. just because I'm kind of more interested in that culture and tradition.
Yeah.
And you know, being in touch with the land.
Mm.
And I think that's really important right now. And it's definitely something that I align, you know, my values with is living from the land and on the land and
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Very cool. Before we let you go, last but not least, well, I would ask if there's anything you're working on that you're excited about. But work-wise, I know you're taking a break, but...
Taking a break.
Anything else exciting?
Well, I got a hint of something this morning that I won't talk about, but I will talk about my last movie with my beloved director, Alexander Payne. It's coming out.
You work with him a lot, right?
Yeah. This would be the eighth time.
A lot.
And he's my life, my career life. And it's a really wonderful movie. It will be out this day next year.
Oh,
so
wow.
So we've got
a
long time to wait. It's called The Holdovers, and Paul Giamatti plays the lead. It's set in 1970, and we filmed it in one very cold and freezing Western Massachusetts last winter. Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
A year as a mom of two toddlers happens really quickly. There's like pros and cons.
Yeah, you're like, it'll be here before you know.
Yeah.
Long days, very short years.
Well,
so, 1 year. That's great.
Yeah. That's all we have.
That's a wrap.
So much for being here with us. Let's sign off to everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. As always, if you want to be on our show, write into Twilight at castmedia.com and leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/Twilight. Keep dropping us those ratings and reviews because it really, really helps us out. And do not forget to follow or subscribe to the show. We will be back with a new episode next week. You don't want to miss it.